Hello, this is Tom Rowe. You're listening to Turn on the News, 3.9's daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Tune in and turn on at 3.9.org and newsroom.3.9.org. Today we're going to look at the industry-friendly regulation FCC bill before Congress. Rush Limbaugh is losing more listeners. FCC extends reply comment. And all about Radio Caroline on its 40th anniversary. Or no, 50th. Excuse me. 1964. Listening to 3.9's Turn on the News, daily look at radio art, radio news, media news, and more. Go to newsroom.3.9.org or 3.9.org for more information about anything you hear here. Behind us are tracks from the Conet Project, Secret Numbers Code, sent out during the Cold War, transmitted. Josh Smith at Tech Daily Dose reports that Representatives Mary Bono Mack, from California, Republican from California, Marsha Blackburn, Republican from Tennessee, introduced, quote, industry-friendly cybersecurity legislation on Tuesday that mirrors a bill championed by Republicans in the Senate. The proposals are a response to White House-backed cybersecurity legislation that Republicans say relies too heavily on government regulation. Quote, the Bono-Mack-Blackburn legislation is a good step forward in the right direction because it puts the private sector in the driver's seat instead of relying on overly prescriptive government mandates that hamper growth and weaken response capabilities, unquote, Blackburn said. Quote, incentive-based security works better than heavy-handed mandates, unquote. Currently, Republicans in Congress also have a bill up to gut the FCC's regulation and make it tougher for them to hold the industry accountable. Paul Rimsmondale over at Radio Survivor writes about the continued fallout from literal fallout from the Rush Limbaugh show. On March 26th, Kohler, the fixture, Wisconsin-based fixture company, announced that it was pulled its advertising from the Rush Limbaugh show. This comes, quote, this comes a month after the fallout from Limbaugh's on-air attack of Georgetown law student Sandra Fluke. And we used a couple of words to describe. Rimsmondale says that the liberal media watch group Media Matters for America is now looking to increase the pressure on Limbaugh. Last week, the group launched two radio ads criticizing Limbaugh's insults and asking listeners to call stations and say there's no place for this kind of indecency to women. And it says they're spending $100,000 on ads to air on the stations that also air Limbaugh's program. So as some groups have called for a boycott of the advertisers of Limbaugh's show, Media Matters is sending $100,000 to the stations that are airing Limbaugh's show. Let's hear a little bit of a clip of the ad that Media Matters is airing on those Limbaugh stations.
Local station WLS broadcasts a radio host who personally attacked a young woman just because he disagreed with her. She told elected officials about her classmates who rely on prescription birth control for their health. The host lopped 46 personal attacks at her.
She's having so much sex, it's amazing she can still walk.
She's having so much sex, she going broke, buying contraceptives, and wants us to buy them.
It makes her a slut, right?
makes her a prostitute. She wants to be paid to have sex.
That was some of the Media Matters for America ads. You can go to RadioSurvivor.com if you want to hear that full ad. David Oxenford at the Broadcast Law Blog reports that the FCC has extended to April 17th the date by which reply comments must be filed in the Commission's multiple ownership proceedings. They were to have been filed by April 3rd, but several public interest groups requested more time. And also to see whether the Supreme Court had decided to review the decision of the Third Circuit Court of Appeals' decision overturning the FCC's 2007 revisions to its ownership rules. Go to broadcastlawblog.com for more information about that story. 257. John Egerton at Broadcasting and Cable reports that the National Telecommunications and Information Administration says it has found 95 megahertz of government spectrum that can be freed up for wireless broadband. Though it said Tuesday there are, quote, challenges that must be overcome before it makes a recommendation to the FCC, including that government and commercial users will have to share the band. This came in the report on the spectrum of the 1755 to 1810 megahertz band currently used by the Department of Defense, federal law enforcement agencies, and others, over 20 agencies in all, for satellite surveillance, aeronautical operations, and fixed microwave and more. Quote, in the past, the federal government has freed up spectrum for exclusive commercial use by clearing a spectrum band of federal users who typically relocated to other bands. However, given the growing demand for spectrum by both industry and federal agencies, it is increasingly difficult to find desirable spectrum that can be vacated by federal users, as well as spectrum in which to relocate those federal users. Due to the scarcity of spectrum, the complexity of federal operations, and the time and cost of relocating federal users, the old approach alone is no longer feasible. You can go to broadcastingandcable.com for more information on that story. Sunspot Watch has the solar weather for March 28th, and no storms are forecast. March 28th, day in radio history. In 1924, WGN AM Chicago, Illinois went on the air. In 1985, Belgian radio host, TV host Nand Burt died at age 53. And this day in 1986, over 6,000 radio stations in the United States played the song We Are the World at exactly 10:15 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Finally, in 1964, Radio Caroline, the legendary offshore pirate radio station, which began to broadcast off the coast of England on March 28, 1964, they did some tests on March 27th, and March 28th was the first, I think, official Radio Caroline broadcast day. When we come back on Turn on the News, we will talk more about Radio Caroline and delve into the history and hear some audio clips and some radio art made from audio clips from Radio Caroline on Turn on the News.
You used to say you'd never break my heart. I don't wanna go and cry. It's so sad to watch a sweet thing cry. Oh, Caroline.
So March 28th is the anniversary of the day in 1964 when Radio Caroline went on the air for the first time. We are going to hear some audio clips from Radio Caroline, some reporting later, and some interviews with the folks that begat that station. It's also coincidentally Tom Lodge, one of the Radio Caroline's original DJs, has died this week in 2012. He was born in 1936. He died at his home in California after a long illness, which the Radio Caroline website says he refused conventional treatment. So we're telling a little bit about his story and the story of Radio Caroline. Tom Lodge joined the Canadian Broadcasting Company first. And he met Ronan O'Rahilly, who is the main founder of Radio Caroline, and asked him, and that's how he got involved as a DJ and then program director, and led Caroline South. There was a Caroline North, there was a Caroline South. We'll go to Wikipedia just for the little introduction. Radio Caroline was begun by Irish musician, manager, and businessman Ronan O'Rahilly. O'Rahilly failed to obtain airplay on Radio Luxembourg for Georgie Fame's records because its airtime was committed to sponsored programmings. So he was basically starting his own record label and wanted airplay, and so he started a radio station to get his own airplay. That's the story. And the story at the time, too, is the BBC. They limited pop music severely and was not airing anything. So there was a definite need, too. Let's hear this little overview of Radio Caroline.
Wherever you looked in 66, there were people challenging the status quo. Far out in the North Sea, a broadcasting revolution was taking place. It was led by a group of disc jockeys who wanted to break the BBC's monopoly of the airwaves. Some of them are still going strong today.
It's hard to visualise 40 years ago what radio was like in this country. We had, prior to that, the BBC operating the home service, the light programme and third programme. Not a lot of pop music on those channels. And at night time there was Radio Luxembourg, where you could listen under the bedclothes to a crystal set or an old valve radio set.
All that changed when the first pirate, Radio Caroline, was launched in 1964. It revolutionized radio in this country by playing pop music around the clock. By 1966, the number of rivals was growing all the time.
Later this week, yet another pirate will be anchored here off Harwich. Under the call sign of Swinging Radio England, this most powerful and largest of the pilots will go on the air round the clock in a bid to scuttle her rivals.
Whilst one new vessel was being launched, another was temporarily taken out of service in 1966. Caroline ran aground in winter storms near Frinton. Ironically, transistor radios had been banned from the beach the previous summer. Now they had the country's most popular radio station taking up valuable sandcastle space.
And within minutes, the rescue parties, including the police, arrived on the scene, and the DJs, the engineers, all came onto the beach courtesy of Breech's Boy. And then they were, should we say, escorted down to the local nick. Hello, hello, hello. What are we doing here?
The great adventure ended a year later with a government bill banning the pirates. None of the DJs ended up with criminal records, although some of them have played a few since.
Here's some artwork now. Neurotransmitters Chronicle remixing early Radio Caroline recordings.
One. Two, two, one, two, two, one, two, three, four,
one, two, three. This is Radio Caroline on 199. The time is 12 o'clock.
I'm afraid the clock has beaten us. It's 10 o'clock again.
One, two, three, and the time is 17 past the hour of 10 o'clock.
It is now exactly 10 o'clock, Bulova watch time. B-U-L-O-V-A, Bulova.
We have got reports from as far back as, far away rather, as New Zealand. In Australia, you can actually hear it there. Won't be very good, of course, but...
The weather, the sun which came out over the south of England this afternoon, just despite the forecasters, should keep the skies clear until later this evening when clouds will appear.
Good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is Radio Caroline, broadcasting on 199 metres in the medium wave band. We're broadcasting from the radio ship, the Mi Amigo.
You're tuned to 199, Radio Caroline, your all-day music station. The time, 1 minute past 11, and time to Senator Carl Conway.
Chicago, Dr. Martin Luther King has cancelled a protest march planned for tomorrow. In South Africa and Rhodesia, ministers have issued strong warnings to would-be terrorists. In New Zealand, the British rugby team has been beaten by 19 points to 6. And in London, the General Secretary of the TUC, Mr. George Woodcock, is in hospital with a slight heart attack.
Right you are. Well, if you're having tea now, it's 12 past 5 o'clock, or if you're going to eat at 6 o'clock, then you've got, let's see, 45, 48 minutes to go before tea time.
I don't know what the weather's like where you are. It's calmed down a bit from what it was last night, but we still have a bit of a swirl going for us at the moment. I've just been up on deck, you know, so it might be good policy to get us over there before I came on the air. And the sea is very calm indeed, you know, and yet the boat is rocking a bit. This is one of the peculiar things about being at sea, you know, you get a, which is called a side swell. It means the waves come at the side of the boat. And the boat can be rocking like anything, but the weather be quite nice. It isn't sunny yet, there's a sea fog. The skipper is going to move our boat just a little bit more inland, and see if we can get a better result. So if you hear the engines running during the morning, that's what it is.
Australia, Sir Francis Chichester has run into rough conditions in the Tasman Sea. Several hundred miles north of his position, there is a fierce cyclone that is causing strong winds and making the sea rough. China, following an incident at the Chinese embassy in Belgrade in which a window was smashed, Chinese members of the staff at the Yugoslav embassy in Peking have gone on strike in protest of the incident. America, it's been announced that since the 1950s, America's arms sales to foreign countries have increased by 600%. Last year's sales had a value of over £700 million. As a result of the American sales, Britain can't even sell enough arms to Germany to offset the cost of the Rhine Army. Russia. As a result of the present anti-Russian attitude taken by the Chinese, the Russians have complained over the recent rioting outside their embassy in Peking. They've also protested over the treatment of their embassy staff. London. Last night, a man was shot outside a public house in the St. Pancras area. The incident occurred after a political argument in the pub between communists and fascists. The man was taken to hospital where he was operated on. His condition is said to be satisfactory.
Radio Caroline North, national and international, now leaves the air to resume broadcasting at 5:45 a.m. tomorrow morning. We broadcast from studios on board the good ship MV Caroline, which is laying at anchor in international waters, 3.5 miles off the Bay of Ramsey in the wonderful Isle of Man. Radio Caroline broadcasts on a frequency of 1169 kilocycles, 259 meters in the medium wave band.
All right, Radio Caroline is our subject. That was Neurotransmitter with their Chronicle, a 5-minute take on Radio Caroline audio archives, remixed with some sounds of waves and all. The interesting note about Radio Caroline is they got its name from Carolyn Kennedy, daughter of U.S. President John F. Kennedy. Apparently, there's a famous Life magazine photograph of the Kennedy children in the Oval Office. Carolyn Kennedy was playing in Ronan O'Rahilly believed she was disrupting the business of government, and that was the image he wanted for his station. And that's how Radio Caroline became to be known as Radio Caroline. This is from the soundtrack to the movie Pirate Radio that came out a few years ago. Philip Seymour Hoffman and others in it was based on the Radio Caroline story. Here's another interview with the founders of Radio Caroline. This is from 1989 after the station had, been knocked off the air numerous times and gotten back on. The ship sunk. Ship had been towed for lack of payment of some sort, but the English broadcasting authorities still had this pesky pirate radio station off its coast that it couldn't really do anything about.
Caroline's beginning was as a direct result of me managing an artist called Georgie Fame, and at the time, and both EMI and Decca turned him down, and the only alternative was to start a label. But in order to start a label, you had to have a radio station to promote it, and then I kept getting back to a radio station, and that's how that was the motivation for doing it.
Radio Caroline was originally based on the Mi Amigo, where many household names started their careers, including the BBC's Johnny Walker.
Johnny, when you were working for Radio Caroline, what made it unique?
Well, it was there'd never been anything like it before. And there hasn't since, really. That was the beauty of it. And it's the only radio situation I've ever been in where, A, the bosses aren't around, they're in London, and if you do something a bit outrageous that they object to, there's nothing they can do about it. I mean, if you really went over the top, as I did one night at about 11 o'clock, they tried to hire a special boat to go out to Caroline to have you taken off. But fortunately, all of the guys who sailed the boats were in the pub at the time, so none of them fancied a late-night trip.
Before we go any further, what exactly did you do that night?
I was only trying to help the BBC, because I'd read Mrs. Dow's diary, was the audience figures were suffering, you see. So I thought, well, if we put them on Caroline, A, we'll bring them to a whole new audience, and B, they'll all have been guilty of breaking the Marine Offences Act and liable to 2 years in jail. So I thought it'd be rather interesting. You know, I'm worried about Jimmy's in the nick. So I said it was by a special link with the BBC, and I just had a transistor radio with an earphone. And I just was listening to it in one ear and doing the show with the other. And then as soon as the Dales theme started, I said, now by special link with the BBC in London, Mrs. Dales' Diary, and just held this radio up against the mic. And the quality was great, sounded beautiful.
Were there any special acts that Caroline championed?
You'd have to draw the list up of who we didn't. I remember the Animals' House of the Rising Sun was a six-minute record, which the BBC, bless them, couldn't cope with, the idea of fitting a six-minute single in Pick of the Pops. So the Animals definitely were helped a lot. The Rolling Stones were, the Moody Blues. Most of the bands who came through in the mid-60s will tell you that they owe it to the pilot stations.
All right, you can go to RadioCaroline.com, search at Wikipedia, go to YouTube. There's all sorts of Radio Caroline on it, all over at your fingertips. And, of course, that pirate radio movie, too. You want to see the fictionalized version. It's been 1964, March 28th. Radio Caroline went on the air for the first time, and we've been looking back tonight on Turn on the News. You can go to newsroom.3103.9.org for more information, or 3103.9.org for more information on radio art, radio news, media art, and more. Tune in, Turn on the News, every night on 3103.9.